Good morning. I'll try not to go until lunchtime. That's why I use pictures. Kind of keeps me on track a little bit. Well, in Haiti, good morning, I would say bonjour. In Haiti, they speak Haitian Creole, which is kind of a simplified version of French, so very similar to French. And I learned very quickly when I was there that if I didn't say bonjour to every person the second I made eye contact with them, I would be in trouble for the rest of the day. So I had to make sure very quickly that I said bonjour to everyone. Well, I've been here before, and Wickley and Dee have been here before, and many of you know about Haiti, but just in case, and for a little review, in case there's anybody who hasn't heard us speak before, I'd like to give just a little bit of a background on the country of Haiti. I'm backwards, so I'm hoping I'm going the right way. Okay. Haiti is a Caribbean, it's on a Caribbean island. It's beautiful. It's always warm there. Winters are hard for me since moving back. It was once called the Pearl of the Antilles. It is just gorgeous, especially during the rainy season when everything is green and lush. But Haiti has been marred since its beginning almost by slavery and corruption and greed and injustice and exploitation, misunderstandings and misconceptions, spiritual poverty, even more than material poverty. Natural disasters, it seems like Haiti never can catch a break. But none of these things are too big or too hard, too bad or too hopeless for our God. And the years that I spent living there and the years since I was first introduced to Haiti, I've seen over and over ways that he continues to work and work among the people of Haiti. And work through those who are serving the people of Haiti. And I'd like to begin today by giving one story of proof that God hasn't forsaken Haiti. You know Dee and Wickley, and you've been supporting them for many, many years. But Wickley doesn't often talk about himself. And so I would like to share his story and where he kind of came from and how the ministry even got started with him. Wickley was born in the central part of Haiti, and when before he was born, though, his mother and father were seen as leaders in their community, and they were looked to in Haiti. What that means as leaders in the community doesn't just mean like for giving advice or for making decisions. They were looked to provide for the people in their community. A lot of their village was family members, but there were other people there as well. And they were looked to as spiritual leaders, as physical leaders, and to disciple and to make decisions for the community and to provide for the people materially. Well, one day, just about a month before Wickley was born, his father was cleaning out his gun and it backfired on him and killed him. And so Wickley was born without a father. But his mother was still looked to for all of that advice and all of that leadership. And so she and provision for the community. And so she spent a lot of her time, even after Wickley was born, away, trying to make money for their family and for their community. And so he was raised by mostly his aunts and his grandma and some of the other women in the community, which is also a cultural thing in Haiti. It takes a village to raise a child is one of their beliefs, and so everyone pitches in, especially without a father. Well, because of Wickley's family's status in the community, even he, as a young boy, was looked to be an example and to be a leader. And so though he was able to go to school a little bit, in between his schooling, he would also be working to help his mother to provide for the community. By the time he was 12, he was already helping to provide for his family in different ways. Like he's an artist, and so he would paint and he would sell his paintings. He would go to scrap piles and find pieces of copper and wire and metal and put together and make his own radios and sell them. He would climb trees with his friends, and they would make their own antennas so that people could get signals on those radios. All kinds of things that he was just so talented and gifted in finding and learning. And eventually he had enough schooling that he was starting to learn some English. One of the requirements in Haiti in junior high grade levels is that the kids start learning English and French along with the Haitian Creole. And at Wickley's time, when he was younger, they weren't even allowed to teach Haitian Creole in school. It was only French. And then he started to learn some English. Well, he met some missionaries in the area who had come through, and they found out that he was pretty gifted in English, and they asked him to start traveling with them and translating for them. By this time, he was about high school age, and he thought, wow, what a perfect way to make some extra money. And so he did. Well, it only took so long of him translating for these missionaries to the gospel and the truth of the gospel for it to reach his heart. And he ended up becoming a Christian because he had been translating for these missionaries. Well, during this time, he decided that he wanted to become a pastor. And so he started going to Bible school and getting training with these missionaries. And then he realized that as a pastor, even more so than a community leader, he would be seen, would be looked on as someone to provide for his congregation. Now here in our country, the congregation, the people, provide for the pastor. In Haiti, because a pastor is a leader, just as in a community, in the church, he also is expected to provide for the people of his congregation. It's switched in Haiti. And so he knew that what he was making by his little odds and ends jobs would not provide for his congregation and family, as well as for him to be a pastor. And so he decided that he was going to get his visa, and he was going to start working part-time in the United States. And so after doing some Bible school and some other training in construction and in masonry and electronics and welding, he got his visa and he went to Florida and started working in the orange groves and the bean fields. And he would make money for a few months, and then he would go back to Haiti, and he would put a few cement blocks on his motorcycle and take them out to the middle of Port-au-Prince, where he was physically building a church. And he would add a few more blocks to the church, and then he would go back to Florida, make some more money, come back to Haiti, give some money to his family and his community that still lived in central Haiti, and buy a few more cement blocks to put on the church. He did that for over a year until the church was finally built. And during this time, of course, he is building relationships with the people in the area where he's building the church. And he brought some of his family from central Haiti to live in that area as well. And so before long, not only was there a physical building of a church, but there was also a congregation. And he came back to Haiti and stayed there longer term, and he became the preacher of that church. Well, during this time, some of the missionaries who had asked him to translate for them a few years before and who had been influential in him becoming a Christian, they had started a children's home in Port-au-Prince. They had lived in northern Haiti, but many people had begun bringing their children to them because she was a nurse. Wanda and David Orr was their name, and Wanda was a nurse, and these parents saw that they couldn't take care of their children, and so they would just bring them to her and leave them with her and tell her, well, we can't take care of them, and we know that they'd be better off with you. So they decided to start a children's home where they would take in children who really wouldn't survive unless they took them in. But they needed better medical care and access to medical care, and so they moved from the northern part of Haiti to the central part of Haiti. Or to the southern central part of Haiti, the capital city. And that's where Wickley's church was. And they had worked with Wickley and they trusted him and they knew him, and they were having some health problems of their own, and they decided it was time for them to move back to the United States. And they asked Wickley to take over directorship of the children's home that they had started. And Wickley said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm a pastor. That's what God's called me to do, and not to raise. But at this time, I think they had about 15 kids in the children's home. And they kept after him because they said, you're the only one we trust to leave in charge of this. And we need somebody. We need a Haitian who is a Christian, who's going to take care of the kids and who's going to raise them to be followers of Christ and good Haitian citizens. That was their goal from the beginning. Not to raise them so that people could adopt them and bring them out of Haiti. They wanted them to stay in Haiti and to be part of helping the country grow. And so they knew Wickley could help them accomplish that. And finally, after praying and telling them no over and over, he finally decided, okay, you know what? If I'm really the only person you trust, God must be in this. And so I'll do it as long as I get to still be a pastor of this church. And so they said, of course, yes. And he said, as long as I can bring people from my home, from my where I grew up, to help with these kids. And they said, yes, anybody that you trust, we trust. So bring people to help you. So he was able to provide jobs for his family and some of those from his community when he was younger, and brought them to Port-au-Prince to help him take care of and raise these kids at the children's home. By this time, there were about 25 kids in the children's home. And David and Wanda Orr had moved back to Missouri, and they were working in the missions department at Central Christian College of the Bible. And many of you know that that is where Dee attended college. And David and Wanda knew that she was interested in missions, and they did a little matchmaking and said, hey, we've got this children's home in Haiti that really could use some more help. So why don't you check out that and think about moving to Haiti to be involved in missions? And so they took her on a trip after she graduated, and it took her about a day to fall in love with all the kids, and she decided that that really was where God wanted her. So she spent the next year fundraising with Wanda, and then she moved to Haiti, and she lived in a Bible school for the first couple of years, where she was taking classes, language classes in Haitian Creole. And then during the afternoons, she would go to the children's home and just spend time getting to know the kids and the workers. And she eventually ended up moving to the children's home to live in one of the rooms with the girls in the children's home and to help with raising them and taking care of them. And by about 2 years in, Wickley proposed to her by saying, well, you're the mother of my children. Will you marry me? That's one of my favorite things from their story. And so they were married, and they now have a family of their own. I forgot to skip forward. There's Dee. And this is their family from about 2 years ago now. I don't have a recent picture, recent, because Ashley's been in college, the oldest one on the far right, in Florida, and Wickley hasn't been able to come out of Haiti, and I haven't been able to be there with any time they've all been together to get a picture of all of them. But this is their family now. Kelsey on the left, who is 16, and Josiah, who is 10, and Ashley, who is in college, 21. And their ministry since that time has just grown. When Ashley was little and Kelsey wasn't born yet, they were still in Port-au-Prince, but most of the kids in the children's home had grown and had moved out of the children's home. And so things were getting more dangerous in the area where they were as well. And so Wickley decided it was time for them to move out of the city. So they moved out to Carias, where they are now. And that is where churches from central Haiti and southern Haiti started coming to them to ask to be under their mission, Berea Christian Mission in Haiti, because they needed discipleship and they needed help. And so before long, they had over 15 churches under their mission, And many of these churches also wanted help with the schools or help that they already had or help opening schools for kids in their congregation. And so Deanne Wickley went from having a children's home to having over 15 churches and 5 or 6 schools under their mission. And it was a lot and it was overwhelming, but God was definitely using them and working through them. So that is kind of up to date of where they were up to a couple of years ago. Haiti has always had political unrest. The nature of how Haiti started with the only successful slave revolt in the history of the world. Because the slaves didn't know how to govern themselves, many times their presidents would just become dictators because that's all they knew, was just telling people what to do and being told what to do. And so there's always been political unrest because it was just this cycle of president set up by the people, and then he became a dictator and the people got upset. And so they'd overthrow that presidency and they'd set up a new one who would eventually become a dictator. And it was just this cycle over and over and over. And the way people protest is by burning tires in the street and shutting down the roads so that people can't travel or conduct business. And this tends to happen about once a year in Haiti anyway. But over the past couple of years, it has been exponentially worse, and to the point where Dee and Wickley told me, don't come. And I lived there for about 5.5 years and moved back in 2015 and still work for the ministry doing this and also leading short-term teams to Haiti. And so I would go down still 2 to 3 times a year. And Dee, since she moved to Haiti, had never felt as if it was unsafe for teams or visitors to come. This is the first time in 30 years that they have told anyone, don't come. And so this is not a picture that I took. It's one that I found from an article about the unrest in this past couple of years. But this is what the streets looked like for months in 2019. And so Dee and Wickley were used to the whole lockdown thing already, because they couldn't go anywhere. The country was literally in lockdown because of all of the unrest and the violence. And that, as you can imagine, was very, very discouraging and frustrating for their ministry, as these churches were still trying to function, but they couldn't physically go to any of the churches and they couldn't travel and be there in person to encourage them. And then the area of Caries, where their ministry was, where the headquarters are now, started having its own unrest that had nothing to do with the rest of the politics in the country. The people from behind the mountains had decided that the people of Caries were on their land and they wanted them off. And so they started coming in the middle of the night and shooting people and burning down houses without any warning. And so soon Caries was just emptied because everyone was terrified that they were going to get burned to death in their sleep. And so Dee and Wickley had already moved out of the central part of the town and moved out to what we call the farm. That's their headquarters where the ministry is and that they've been working on building up over the past 5 years. And they were already out of the village, but people from the village came to them. And so there were probably at one point 50 to 75 people living at their beach property that had come out of the village that they were caring for. And some of them also moved to the farm property with them. And so their ministry has looked different in the last couple of years, but God has continued to bring people to them. So even though they couldn't really go anywhere for a while, God has brought people to them to encourage and to bring people who need to hear the gospel. As I said, from about summer of 2018 on, I was not able to return to Haiti. And that was the longest time I'd been here without being in Haiti since I was in college, since 2008. And so my biggest prayer request over 2018 and 2019 was that I would be able to go to Haiti and encourage the Dorseys, because they had been constantly doing the encouraging and sharing the gospel and trying to continue giving these people that were coming to them hope, but there was no one to do the same for them. And they were running out of steam. And so I just kept praying and asking all of our supporters to pray that I would be able to go. Well, in March of last year, I worked part-time for the school district in Macomb. And so I waited for spring break and I got my tickets and Dee had said, come, now is as good as time of any to come. Things have calmed down. So come now. And so I went during spring break. And right when I landed was when things started shutting down. And I got back to their compound and Dee and McLee had the radios on and they were looking a little bit on Facebook and Dee started seeing posts from people and started seeing things closing down and questions about should we close things down. And I remember even I was in Florida with John and Cindy at that time and we were watching the news before I even flew out and both of them asked me, are you sure you want to go to Haiti right now? And I said, I have to. I haven't been there for over a year and there's always something to be worrying about traveling overseas. So, but I had no idea what it was going to turn into. And about halfway through my week there, which was amazing, God's perfect timing, I was able to bring books to the school kids that were in French and English. I was able to help them hand out some shoes to people that had been donated for the school kids. And I was able to spend time with all of these kids that I had had helped raise and had spent so much time with while I was living there, and it was amazing. And I was very encouraged, and I hope I was an encouragement to the Dorseys. But about halfway through the week, Dee said, do you think you're going to need to go back early? Because they're starting to shut down airports. And I was like, oh my goodness. Well, if they shut down airports and schools, I guess I don't really have a reason to go back. Maybe I should just stay here. But she said, no, you probably don't want to get stuck here. So we just kept watching each day about how things were, and they kept everything open. I was able to stay the whole week. The day that I came back to Illinois was when the day they announced that they were shutting everything down. I was just floored. I mean, I've seen examples in my life many times of God's perfect timing, but that was the biggest one yet. Because I was there right at the time that I could have gone and got back right in time that I didn't get stuck there. So thank you to those of you who prayed for that time and that I would be able to go to Haiti, because God worked it out that I could be there and that I could bring more of these books that I know we've shared with before too. This book is one that Dee and I helped to translate into English, and a friend of mine from college helped to do the illustrations. It's called Happy New Birthday, and it shares the entire gospel message. And it's beautiful, beautiful illustrations that of kids that look like the kids in Haiti, and we've been able to hand out hundreds of these in our churches and schools. And so I'd had this pile of them just sitting, waiting to get back down there, and I was finally able to take it. And so that was a huge answer to prayer. Now, even though they've been in shutdown mode, the work has continued, like I said. And even though when everything shut down, even after COVID in Haiti, everything shut down there for a while, just like it did here, and the churches were not able to meet and the school was not able to meet. And that was very, very difficult for them because they don't have Zoom. They don't have Facebook Live. They don't have YouTube, at least not access to that like we do. And so when the churches weren't able to meet, they weren't able to meet at all, whether physically or virtually. And it was very, very discouraging for them. But because they were so strict with their lockdown, they were able to get back together sooner than a lot of us were. And so before long, the churches were able to meet again and the schools were able to start again. And because of the unrest in Caries, our school is no longer at this building. Which has been hard because they've had to meet at the beach property for a while. And so this is where they are now, in some of the smaller rooms in the beach property. But the kids are still coming. And of course, there are days where it's not safe for them to walk to our beach property. although about half of them are still living on the beach property, so they just have to step out of their door to go to school, which is nice. But those of them who are not living there, there are some days where they can't come, but for the most part, God has provided protection for the kids and protection for our professors, some of whom come from Port-au-Prince during the week and stay with us. And so that has been a huge blessing that we've been able to continue providing a Christian environment and that is safe for the kids, that he's protected them and provided them this learning, this education for them throughout a time of difficulty. They've had something consistent. And then at the farm property where Dee and Wickley are, they've been working on building it up constantly to try to have a building available for school and for church because the situation in Caries is so unstable. And so they've been providing training and jobs for people, anybody who would come to them. They have a shop where they are teaching people how to sew and put prints on t-shirts. And they've already had some people order t-shirts from them, which has been an awesome way for income. And then they've been building rooms and buildings. The top left picture is of them pouring concrete on a roof, which is an awesome process. It's really cool to watch if you ever get to see it, pouring concrete on a roof by hand. They've been teaching people computers. There's been training for construction. There's been a lot of work. Of course, again, there are days where the roads are not safe and people aren't able to come, but as much as they can and as God has provided, they've been able to keep this work going and keep these jobs being provided for the people. And so that's been an encouragement to see that physical progress. But last year, besides all of the COVID and the shutdowns and the unrest that just didn't seem to end, both Dee and Wickley lost their mothers. And so it seemed like there was just blow after blow after blow. And when they thought they were kind of getting picked back up again, then another thing would happen. And they thought things were getting picked up again, and then something else would happen. Dee was able to come out for about a week in the summer last year to come for her mom's service with Kelsey and Josiah. Wickley was unable to come, which he was very sad about, but he was able to watch the service virtually at least. And Dee was only able to be out for a couple of weeks. And so it wasn't much of a break, but at least she was able to be here. And then later in the year, Wickley's mother got COVID, and she lives in New York, and she was in the hospital for about a month before she passed away, and he was unable to attend the service, and so that was very, very hard, but he and his brother were both able to attend virtually, and he was able to be streamed in so he could speak for part of the service, which was quite an encouragement to him, and they had many of the family from Central Haiti that came and that took care of them for the week prior to and after the service, and they cooked for them and cleaned and were an encouragement to them. And I know that meant a lot to them as well. But it was difficult, and the past year has been hard in many different ways for them. And I know that they are weary, and they struggle with discouragement at times and burn out because they haven't had a lot of a break. And so again, a prayer request for them is that someone would be able to go to them and encourage them, and or that they would be able to come out and to have a time of actual rest and refreshment and restoration of their hope and of their courage. And through all of it, they have remained steadfast. And I know that that speaks more to the people of Haiti and in their area than anything else. There have been times where they feel like they're not doing anything, and they feel like what they had planned for the ministry was not going the way they wanted. But they have been there, and they've stayed. And many people in Haiti have not. Many of the people who have been ministering in Haiti have not stayed. And so their faithfulness and loyalty has really spoken volumes to the people of Haiti. And they continue to have an impact. God continues to speak to the people in their area through that faithfulness. And so the ministry has been able to continue. And I know that they, if they were here, they would say this exact thing, that it's because of all of you helping to support and encourage and pray that they have been able to stay. And so I know that they would say, they would stand here and say thank you. And so I'm saying it for them. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your prayers, because that is what's giving them something to stand on and reminding them that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that even if their ministry seems so different, God is still the same and he is still working. And so I just want to thank you so much for all that you do, because the ministry couldn't continue without all of you. So thank you for supporting Blessing Hearts International and Wickley and Dee and their ministry as we continue allowing God to use us to change lives and touch hearts and share Christ and reach the world one soul at a time. I have one more thing I wanted to share. These verses with you, sometimes it's hard. I even lived in Haiti and it was hard. It's still hard for me to know how to pray sometimes when I'm not there. But I've found these verses in some of my studies in the past year from Jeremiah and one from Isaiah that really have helped me to be able to pray for the Dorseys in specific ways for wisdom and for clarity and for how to minister. And so this one is taken from Jeremiah 15:19, the Message, and it says, "Use words truly and well. Don't stoop to cheap whining. Then, but only then, you'll speak for me. Let your words change them. Don't change your words to suit them." And so if you need something to pray, Jeremiah 15:19, pray that for Dee and Wickley, that their words would be of God and would not be discouraging, but they would be giving courage to the people and would not allow other people and the fear that surrounds them and the discouragement that surrounds them to change their hearts, but that they would continue standing on God's hope and that their words would bring that hope to the people around them. And then the next one, Isaiah, this is for wisdom. It says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." As you can imagine, with so many differences and changes in their ministry, it's been hard to know what to do and what decision to make and who to help and how to help. And so just pray Isaiah 30:21 for them, that they would have wisdom, that they would hear clearly God's voice behind them, that they would hear their teacher and that they would follow him. And if you would like some more guidance in prayer, I have these prayer requests on the table out there. This is a bookmark that has a prayer request for every day of the month for Dee and Wickley. And you can use it to pray for other missionaries that you support as well. It's like today is the 25th and the prompt is pray for protection and provision for the children in our school and churches. And so there's a different prompt like that for every day of the month, just a quick little prayer that you can pray for them. And I know that they appreciate it so, so much. So again, thank you very much for being a part of helping the people in Haiti who walk in darkness to see Jesus' light. Thank you.
Talk to people and that kind of stuff, right?
Okay. Yes, excellent.
Whether you plan on it or not, that's where I'd like you to be. So just for me personally, and I'm only going to take a minute, I promise, but Wickley's story just reminded me of how good we have it, and the last year was just terrible for all of us, I think, in a lot of different ways, but we just get so complacent. I get so complacent. I get so caught up in, I can do, you know, I've got all of these things, and if I lose one little thing in my world, it's awful and terrible, and I just want to throw a pity party kind of a thing, right? And they continue the ministry. They continue the work. They lost, you know, like Shana said, they're both their mothers and the hardship of the political turmoil. We think the political turmoil in our country is bad, and I just can't even imagine where they're at. And I guess for me personally, that's what I took from that, is that we've got it really pretty good in this country and where we're at and those kind of things. It's so easy to get complacent and start throwing pity parties when little things change or go wrong and happen. And so my prayer for myself, and you can take whatever you want from this, but my prayer for myself is that I don't get caught up into that. And I appreciate the Isaiah passage that you had there too of the whining, I think was a word in there. And I was like, it's easy to whine, it's easy to complain, it's easy to grumble. But remembering that we have a God who is not just serving Astoria or South Fulton or Illinois or the United States. We have a God that is covering this entire country, our entire world, in fact, the entire cosmos. And we've got people in Haiti and all around the world, China and Iraq and different places of the world that are just facing terrible circumstances. And so just to remember, my whining is very, very minor compared to where they're at. And so that's my prayer for myself. I promised I'd kept it to me. I did pretty well, I thought. So, Johnny, any more pictures? Are you good? All right. Worship team can come on front. We're going to close with any kind of a response that you guys desire. If there's something to be prayed for, some kind of a decision to make this morning, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation. So if you're able and comfortable, we're going to stand. Noah, you got that up there for me? There we go. Awesome. Thank you. And sing, trust, and obey. Let's sing.